You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and I am joined today by Zach Gowan, a man who has overcome personal struggles to become an inspiration both in and out of the ring. We'll talk about Zach's career wrestling with a disability, his journey to stay sober, as well as his recent film documentary, Finding Zach Gowan. Zach Gowan, welcome to OWW Radio.
Awesome. Thanks very much for having me, David. I appreciate it.
You bet. Well, I'm very happy to have you on the show today, and I want to congratulate you on the release of your documentary, Finding Zach Gowan. How did this project come together?
Well, thank you very much for the congratulations. You know, I certainly appreciate that. I put a lot of work into it. Basically, I make a living by telling my story. And through whatever platforms I can find, you know, whether it be wrestling or speaking or, you know, making this DVD, that's just how I make my living. So there was an opportunity to work with some really talented guys and to put this together, and I jumped at it. And I'm super, super excited, and I'm super happy with the end product, and the feedback has been awesome so far.
The documentary, again, called Finding Zach Gowan. Where can people get a copy of the film?
You go to ZachGowan.com and click on the Finding Zach Gowan link, and that'll give you all your necessary information.
Okay, and how long, from the time you thought about putting this project together, did it take you to finish the film?
We shot various pieces over the course of maybe 6 or 8 months, depending on whoever's schedule it was. You know, a guy like Rhino or Paul London, you know, we had to work around their busy schedules. So we tried to make ourselves available for whatever it called for. But from start to finish, you know, the editing process, probably a good 9 months, you know, taping, editing, and all that good stuff.
For other wrestlers out there today, or for that matter, other people that have overcome challenges with an interesting life story, what challenges are there actually putting together a film like this?
The challenge for me was being completely fearless and thorough. Because if you watch the movie, there's, you know, I tell my story and then almost a juxtaposition. I think I'm saying that word correctly, but you'll get different views and different sides of different situations that I've been through people, you know, looking at it from the outside. And so for me, some of the stuff was painful to look at, especially through other people's eyes. And I had to be open and honest and willing enough to be able to really, you know, put that out there, because in some of the stuff I don't look very good at all. But the fact is, that's a huge part of my story, the fact that, you know, as a human being, we can go through trials and errors and tribulations and bounce back from them. And that, to me, that's a testament to the endurance of the human spirit. You know, so the whole process was incredibly emotional for me. But at the end of the day, man, you know, I believe my sole reason for existence here on Earth is to be of service to other people. And how do I do that? Well, I do that by telling my story. So if anybody can get anything out of it or be inspired in any way, shape, or form, then my work is worth it.
You beat me to my next question, because I wanted to ask you, as you relive some of these parts of your life, how emotional was it for you? How hard was it to be honest and to really take that view of what's happened to you and put it into a film, because you've got to almost relive it, don't you?
You have to. I have to relive it, but the thing is, the more I talk about dark things, such as drug addiction or cancer, any of the crap that I went through in the past, the more I talk about it, the less sick I become from it. You know, the more I get it out into the open, and the more I allow the sunshine of the spirit to rain down upon whatever crap I went through, that gives it less power over me. So ultimately, mm-hmm. it's hard to go through, and it's hard to talk about, but the end result is me being happier and healthier. So it's all worth it.
Well, you sound great. It sounds very positive. That's wonderful to hear. And when you were putting this film together, Zach, was there anything that you didn't want to talk about that you said that this is, we're not going to put this in the film?
Not really, man, because I'm an open book. And the more I talk about the stuff that I went through, like I said, man, the less power it has over me. So I'm happy to talk about stuff. And you have to think, I almost have a responsibility. Because if somebody is going through any of the shit that I went through, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to swear. Sometimes I get fired up, man, I get passionate. But if anybody is going through any of the crap that I went through, and can take something out of my story and apply it to their lives to live, you know, to live better or happier or healthier or whatever it may be, then I almost have an obligation to share that with people.
Mm-hmm. Who was your film team that helped you put together this documentary?
The young man named Joe Dombrowski, who's been around the wrestling business or been in the wrestling business for 10, 12, 14 years now. He started at a very young age. He's out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he's, you know, he's a fantastic mind, and he takes a great interest in my story. And this is a guy who, you know, after I started my recovery process from the depression, from drugs and alcohol, you know, over 4 years ago, he was a guy that believed in me and my ability to, connect with an audience, more so than I did. And he, you know, he's given me lots of opportunities through various platforms and projects that we've been a part of. And he's, you know, he's been in my corner since day one. So he's the guy that I really trusted with to give an accurate representation of what my story is all about.
So the documentary, again, called Finding Zach Gowan, and it said it took about 9 months or so to put together. Now that it is finished, are you happy with the final product?
I'm happy with it. I think it's amazing. I watched it from start to finish, and you know, obviously, it's hard for anybody. I think, and you can probably speak to this. It's hard to hear your voice on the radio. It's hard to look at yourself when you're on film. You know, it's so like at first I cringe because because I'm so self-conscious. But once I got over that, like I got some feedback from some supporters and people who bought the film, that put my mind at ease. But I'm extremely happy with the final product, and I think it's unlike anything that's ever been put out there. You know, people have shared their stories before, but I think when fans think of me and they think of, you know, that year I had in WWE, and that's, you know, surreal and amazing and of itself. But the fact that there's, you know, 95%, you know, that's only 5% of my complete story, and the other 95% is probably more interesting than the WWE stuff. So it's cool to hear all that feedback, but I'm extremely happy with the film.
Well, this is a complicated story that you're telling, because you're not only overcoming a physical disability, then of course you talk about your struggles with drugs and alcohol, but for people, Zach, that don't know, you lost your leg at what age and for what reason?
I lost my leg to cancer when I was 8 years old, and by 18 years, you know, thank God they were able to save my life, but I didn't lose my leg, and the power and the magic of professional wrestling really, you know, carried me through a tumultuous childhood and, you know, a lot of pain growing up, a lot of feeling different from other kids and kind of sitting on the outside. And then, you know, at 18 years old, all my dreams come true. I become a WWE superstar for some reason or another. And then that's taken away from me at, you know, 20 years old. And then it's a roller coaster of a story, man. And then, you know, the depression and lost identity and trying to, you know, the name of the DVD is Finding Zach Gowan. And that's what I've been trying to do since birth. And it took a lot of ups and downs to be able to get to the point where I, you know, I can really truly embrace myself, look at the man in the mirror, and love who's staring back at me, you know. So it's really a, you know, it's a feel good story, but with lots of ups and downs, man. It's insane.
Well, when you decided to stop just being a fan of professional wrestling and actually start to train and to get into this business, were there people along the way, Zach, that said, you know, this is never going to work for you?
No. No, I didn't have, or maybe they did, but I didn't really pay attention. I'm not really sure, but I'm sure they thought that to themselves. But once I set foot in the ring, I had a natural affinity for wrestling. For anything physical, I consider myself a gifted athlete, and it all came pretty easily to me. The only difficulties and challenges that I had were trying to figure out how to do things physically I couldn't do, such as like run the ropes or mm-hmm. climb the ropes or do, you know, certain maneuvers. But I would just try things until something stuck. And worked. And even bigger than that, the bigger challenge was trying to hone my act and to be able to present an act or to put or perform in a wrestling match that, one, made sense, and two, was entertaining, and three, that was, you know, that would connect with an audience. And so that took many, many years to be able to do that. And that's one of the biggest regrets that I've had, was that, you know, they signed me up to WWE, with, you know, when I was 7 months after my first match, and we didn't really have an opportunity. Yeah, we didn't have an opportunity. I didn't have an opportunity to really hone my act or realize what I had. And they didn't really have the wherewithal to really understand what the gravity of my story, you know. So what you saw on TV was a live experiment every single week, you know, in front of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million people, however many people were watching, you know. So to me, that's pretty surreal to think about. And I don't think you'll see that again. But that's why I like when people come watch me now at these independent shows, and, you know, they're very complimentary towards my work. And that makes me feel good, because it's all of my doing. It's the work that I've put in. You know, I'm not part of a machine. It's strictly independent, you know, flinging out of the back of my trunk, and I get by with the support of my fans and the supporters of independent professional wrestling, which I believe is the backbone of this magical industry, you know. So it's truly a blessing to be where I'm at, for sure.
I like the fact that you mentioned, you know, connecting with an audience, putting together an act. It's amazing. There's so much to this business. It's not just learning the moves. It's not just learning how to put together a match. It's putting together a character, and that's a real skill. It's a real art. And I wanted to ask you, as you were going through your training, did your trainers sometimes find it hard to teach you and to work with you because of your disability?
No, because it was really just trial and error, and I had the willingness to. I was humble enough to fail, and I failed a lot. I got knocked down a lot, and I got stuck a lot. But I always got back up, and I always kept coming back, because when something feels so real inside of your heart, inside of your gut, like my love for professional wrestling, nothing's going to stop you. And so I kept coming back, but I think, as you alluded to, the importance of having an act or to have something, some kind of hook or an angle, to make either people come see you wrestle or make promoters book you, that was inherently built within me, you know, by having one leg. So when I came into the wrestling business, and my wrestling trainers were smart enough to see it, you know, Truth Martini in particular, he said to himself, okay, well, this kid's got something that we can work with, because not only, you know, does he have a built-in unique character, but he can also, you know, go in physically in the ring. So let's work with it, you know. So for a lot of reasons, wrestling training was a lot easier for me than maybe some other people, despite my disability.
What do you remember about your first match, the first time you went down the aisle and you were set in the center of the ring?
Man, I was so excited. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. March 16th, you know, 2002. It was in my local mall of all places, you know, and it was in front of about 35 people. 25 were my friends and family, you know. one of those shows. But man, that was, you know, that was incredible, and history was made that night. For the first time in the history of the world, a one-legged guy performed on a professional wrestling show. And I didn't really understand the gravity of the situation at the time, but looking back now, I'm 31 years old, looking back, like, man, I'm super proud of that. And that makes me feel super, super grateful that not only was I given the opportunity, but I also performed and I delivered, you know. And I was talking to the Brooklyn Brawler, of all people, and this was a number of years ago, and we shared an airplane together, and we're talking, and he said to me, he goes, you know what, if you would have came 20 years earlier, Vince McMahon would have nothing to do with you. He would have, you know, wrestling schools would have shut their doors as soon as you walked in. They would have kicked you out. Just the fact that, you know, I came along at the right time, that I lost my leg at 8 years old, which allowed me to grow up and to adapt. The fact that I have the body type I do that allows me to perform. You know, like all of these things had to really line up for me to be able to do what I do. And you know, I don't take that for granted anymore. At one point I did, but to me, to think about it, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Zach, were there guys along the way that did not want to work with you in the ring?
No, there were guys when I first started out, because you got to remember, man, and I don't hold any grudges against anybody. You got to remember that nothing like this has ever happened before. And so you have guys that kind of, you know, have had their mentality of what professional wrestling should be or what it is or whatever they think, you know. And so I nobody has ever said anything to me. I want to make that perfectly clear. Nobody's ever said anything to me, but I heard people go to promoters and say, you know, it's not believable for me to lose to Zach. I'm not going to do your show if I have to lose, you know. And for me, and I got personally insulted when I shouldn't have, because obviously it's something to do with me as a person. It's more of the idea of what they think of what the wrestling business is. But that was more so in the beginning of my career. Nowadays I get nothing, man. It's nothing but love. It's all love from promoters, from the fans, to the guys in the back that, you know, I've bonded with over the years, man. It's truly incredible, and I have so much support from some really talented individuals that I respect greatly, man. So there's no worries at all.
Well, we mentioned at the top here that Finding Zach Gallen is the name of the documentary. It is not just a wrestling movie. It is a movie with a lot of heart. It's about your journey in professional wrestling, but also some of your personal demons. You know, Zach, it's interesting. We've seen this recently with Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall and some of these other people that have found DDP yoga as a way to help them overcome some of the issues they've been having. So you yourself also an inspiration, just like they are. Congratulations on this documentary. Congratulations on your career. I know everyone here at OWW is very proud of you, and we can't wait to see the documentary. By the way, one last question before we let you go. The Cauliflower Alley Club reunion is coming up in June. Have you ever been to the CAC?
I went to it, I believe, not the last year, the year before. And I wrestled there actually in the beautiful ballroom for TCW. Matt Riviero is the promoter.
Right, they run Casino Royale is the show they run. Yeah, out there. Yeah, and I was there. I just didn't get a chance to meet you. I didn't remember if you were on one of those shows or not. So I'm glad you were. Are you planning to come this year?
My performance must have not been very memorable at all.
Hey, listen, that is not at all. I was just, it was one of my first reunions I'd been to, and my head was on a swivel, you know what I mean?
I want to touch on what you alluded to, and I know you're trying to kick me off here, but I think it's so amazing, Jake the Snake Roberts, Scott Hall, like, because too many guys in wrestling have died. Too many guys have died prematurely due to drugs and alcohol, and I think, you know, we're seeing such a renaissance of recovery within the community, and I feel so blessed to be a part of that. You know, even guys now in WWE, guys getting signed recently, you know, that are in recovery. It's amazing to see. And me and Jake the Snake, we bonded actually, you know, about a year ago. We were on some shows together, and I didn't talk to him like he's Jake the Snake, like the guy I grew up watching. I talked to him like another guy I would, like, in recovery, that I would talk to every day, man. And we formed an incredibly strong bond, and he's such an amazing person. So, you know, to see him and Scott, you know, in the Hall of Fame doing their thing, it makes me incredibly proud, and makes me feel very, very, very blessed to be where I'm at, you know, for sure.
Where can people find you on social media?
Zach Gowen. Everything is Zach Gowen, / on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Everything is under my name, Zach Gowen.
You got it. Congratulations again. The documentary called Finding Zach Gowen. Can't wait to see it. Congratulations also to Joe, who you said worked with you closely on that project. And thank you so much, Zach, for being here today. Everyone at OWW wishes you continued success.
Appreciate the interest, and thank you guys very much, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Now don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on previous episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thanks again to Zach Gowen for today's inspirational interview. Everyone here at OWW is very proud of his achievements and look forward to watching the documentary Finding Zach Gowen. Remember, you can go on to his website, ZachGowen.com, to pick up a copy of the film. We hope you enjoy the interview. We'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, well that's okay.